Yo, how's it going? It's Monday, February 11th, 2013. Welcome to the 10th episode of Social Echoes, the True Voice Media podcast. If you're ready to go, let's get rolling. Whoa. Hold on, I have another window open that is not supposed to be open. There we go. Anyway, with that great adventure. Welcome back into Social Echoes from True Voice Media. Thank you for listening in. My name is John Steyer, host of Social Echoes and all accompanying projects. You can find more episodes on our website, truevoicemedia.com/resources/social echoes. Or you can go ahead and find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio just by simply searching Social Echoes. If you've enjoyed some of the past interviews or guests, we'd love to hear your feedback. Please leave us a review or give us a rating, good, bad, or indifferent. It just gives us an idea of how you're liking the show and what other topics you'd like to hear. So before I introduce our guest, I'd like to give a quick thought about the update capabilities to Twitter's mobile search. A few days ago, Twitter announced new and added functionality that allows for relevant content discovery. It's now available for all iOS and Android users, although this isn't news for me as an Android user. This nifty little feature has been on my Droid and my iPad for months, and now iPhone has been brought to the search party. First, Facebook introduced Graph Search, and now Twitter joins the search updating party. So it just kind of shows that search is still king when you want to find out more about what any company does. As much as we want to discuss how great and wonderful social is, and it certainly is, it's not so secret that the benefits for companies in search are gigantic. So companies should not forget that the increased search results that profiles and content produce are pretty great. And the word that I've heard floating around is findability. You won't find it in a dictionary, but if you want to improve your organization's findability, it's a big thing in 13 thus far. Search and social are BFFs. The social networks are building social tools to better aid their users. Make sure that you're not missing out on the added search desserts. So with that little reverb out of the way, time to introduce our guest, Jen Peedy. Jen is co-founder of Community Manager Chat on Twitter. She's the editor-in-chief of the Community Manager blog and website. During the day, she is a community strategist for Tutor, or I'm sorry, was formerly Tutor, is now 2U, and is an adjunct professor at Syracuse University. Tech, sports, Syracuse, travel, Korea, music, and Apple are some of the things that sum her up as per her Twitter bio, and it's a great pleasure to have the Professor Jen Peedy on Social Echoes. Hi, Jen.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me and for that awesome intro.
When do you sleep?
I don't.
You just keep adding new things. Every time I go and visit you guys in New York City, it just seems like you're just busier and busier, but
It's true. I mean, I kind of have a whole philosophy of, just lean toward yes, don't say no to most things. So if it fits in my schedule and I can give it, a lot of effort, then yeah, I'll try and do it. So I have a long list of projects going on at the moment.
well, that's wonderful. I certainly hope to be as busy as you are.
Looks like it. This seems like it's taken off. Episode 10, that's huge. Congrats.
Yeah, episode 10. It's interesting. I started this in August, and then I kind of got back tabled a little bit. And my boss continued to ask me about it, and he really was a is he still is a very big supporter of everything that I want to do with the podcast. And so here we are, 10 episodes in, and I guess it's technically a bit more than 10 episodes. We've done a couple half episodes with Patrick Goodman, with the boss Jeff Gibbard, and so other different featurettes that are kind of spinning off of the blog or of the podcast already. So I'm very much enjoying it. But let's talk a little bit about some of the new projects you have going on. So Jen, how are things going as an adjunct professor at Syracuse? What are you teaching, and how did you come upon this chance?
Sure. So things are going great. I teach, it's a long title. It's called the Innovation in Advanced Topics, Community Management and Social Media. And I teach it with Kelly Lux. So we co-teach the class. It's the first time the university has offered something like this, but it's part of their, it's a CAS, a Certificate in Advanced Study. And it's focused on social media. So there's a bunch of other courses that students can take. And so this is through the School of Information Studies at Syracuse. And some of the other classes are really cool. It's like social media in the enterprise. There's they had one on social media and the election last fall. So all the students got to really participate live in all of the cool online stuff that's going on. And my favorite, which is Trek class, which is an entire class devoted to Star Trek, but in a really cool online, you know, community kind of social media way. So there's a lot of really great stuff going on out there. So if you guys are interested in any of those courses, iSchool.syr.edu is where you can find out more about the certificate and what we're doing with community manager class.
That's fascinating. So this is all virtual, I assume?
No, actually, most of it is at the school. My course is completely online. They do have a few that are online, a few that are on campus, so you'd have to look into that. But yeah, ours is completely online, and it's cool because we're using Google Hangouts for our actual class time. So it's a bit of a hybrid course. We have the class every other week, every Tuesday, and we get everybody in a Google Hangout. We kind of go over some of the questions and thoughts of that two-week period of what they were supposed to have read and some of the projects they're doing. Students have to blog each week on the cmgrclass.syr.edu blog. So there's a lot of content up on the site, and you can kind of see their development throughout the semester so far. And they have a couple, you know, projects coming up, a midterm and a final, and we're trying to get them out into the world and talking to community managers. So if anyone's a community manager listening to this, you may be being asked by our students to, you know, do a little bit of an interview. So I hope you help them out.
Well, that's cool. Do you have to go through each and every blog post?
Well, that's the beauty of co-teaching the course. So yeah, we have to go through each and every blog post and provide some notes and how to make them better, you know, teach. But Kelly and I just split up the work, so it's not so bad.
How many students do you have?
About 13 right about now, yeah. So there's okay, always a little back and forth. It's not bad. Right. So it's a pretty manageable size.
Yeah, I was just about to say it's manageable. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for the first time around, it's pretty good. There's a good diverse group of students, and they're really cool to get to know. So it's fun.
Jen, you've been known around the internet as a leading voice on community management. Which came first, community manager chat or the blog?
Oh, the chat came first, actually. And the funny thing about that was I had been doing, I guess, community management for years without knowing what the title was. And when I officially got my first community management job, which was in really early 2010, I got the job and I was like, all right, you know, I got to figure out how to do this for real now, for money, for a job. How do I do this? And Kelly Lux actually was in kind of the same boat. And, you know, she's a huge social media maven at the time, but, you know, we had just gotten our first real social media jobs. And we're like, well, let's start a Twitter chat. These things are kind of popular. And that's kind of how we got some of our start. And we looked around and like, well, we don't see a community manager chat. So let's just see if one starts. And if there's something else out there, then we will stop. And nobody stopped us. Nobody came out and said, oh, there's this here, there's that there. Like, there was just nothing. So we started this chat, and the first one was in September 2010. And I think the first one had 89 community managers in it, which is insane. Like, it's been that way ever since. Like, we get generally between 75 and 125 community managers each week, and we have Wow. every week since 2010. So we realized that the chat was a definite necessity, and so it started because we wanted to learn, but then we ended up quickly learning a lot and learning how to teach. So we started that, and then the blog website started in April 2011. So after that first chat, actually, somebody in the chat introduced me to Brett Petersell, like that first chat in September 2010. She's like, oh, you've got to meet Brett. He's huge into all this stuff, works at Mashable. I'm like, all right, cool. So that next month, I think I went down to New York, met with Brett and David Spink, so I pulled in because I wanted to meet him, huge community guy. And the three of us are like, let's build a home for this. So we started promoting it and talking about it, and Brett happened to own thecommunitymanager.com. So that's, it was just born right then and there. We partnered with Social Fresh, and that was really cool. Working with Jason Keith is awesome, and he helped us build the site, and there's a lot of great synergies between the two, and it was launched, think in April 2011. Yeah. So it's been a cool road ever since.
You got some good names in there. I mean, the fact that you're working with Social Frest and Jason Keith, that's pretty major.
Well, it was crazy. I mean, at the time, and even still now, like, just it was a really small world, especially in New York, you know? Like, there was a lot of crossover, a ton of, like, great people involved in the space and all these meetups, and you kind of come across everybody all the time. And everybody was really super social, go figure, and they would, you know, introduce, oh, hey, you got to meet this person. Hey, come meet this person. And the funny thing about all of this is that we launched the site. So I met these guys in, you know, in real life, not from Twitter, but met these guys in October of 2010. And I started a job search about a month later because my company Upstate got sold. And within 24 hours, they had introduced me to Alexa Scordato, who worked at 2U. And she's like, I got a job. And pretty much within 24 hours, like, was like, come work for 2U. So I went there, sight unseen, had no idea what Tutor was at the time. Never met Alexa, had just, you know, gone off this word of mouth of how great all the people were. And I quit my job. I went on a trip to India for 2 weeks, came back in January and the day after I started working at Tutor. So in the span of like 4 months in 2010-11, like everything just exploded and it's been snowballing ever since.
We're going to talk a bit more about 2U a little bit, but kind of getting back to what you said about Meetup. I had the pleasure of going to one of the community manager meetups or CM meetups in New York City with you and our mutual pal Harrison Kratz. I guess the last time I was in New York City, and it was a blast. It was a lot of it was actually a panel. I'm not sure if you guys do that every time that you're there, but how much influence does the community manager blog have on CM meetup?
You know, here's the funny story. There actually is, there's no official connection between the communitymanager.com and CM Meetup. They're two very separate organizations, and the Meetup is its own entity. And we love everyone who works on it. So Leah and Natalie and Matt Nell and all those guys, like David Brown, like they do such a great job with CM Meetup that we do everything we can to support them. And so we post a lot of the recaps, and we do a lot of, you know, try to promote the event. But they're their own beast. They don't really, you know, have to worry about too much. But we go to the events. We'll do the recaps. And that's the funny thing is I don't have anything to do with it, and happy to do so because it's one thing I get to enjoy just as a member. But, you know, it's a great crossover sometimes when we can and when we have an opportunity to.
Right, as if you don't have enough on your plate.
Exactly. So.
But they do have fantastic cupcakes.
That they do. Well, plus we also run an international meetup page, which is meetup.com/CM. I can't remember how many there are on there now. I think there's like 130 cities across the world where community managers can go and use that as a site to have community manager meetups. Our biggest one actually is in London. I think there was a couple hundred people. I'm a little off on the numbers, but... it was a huge group, and they get together so often. So the site's there if anyone wants to create a meetup. But yeah, New York's CM meetup is unto its own. There's also another one in Boulder that's pretty great that Callie Harris runs. That they're a huge CM meetup out there too. So there's a few big ones, and then we try to give a vehicle to anyone out there in the rest of the world who wants to do them.
In the time that you've been running the community manager, how has community management as a whole evolved?
It's exploded in a great way and in a bad way too. So when we started the communitymanager.com, our entire goal was to unite the world of community management. You know, we had conversations with all the players that we knew of at the time and try to, you know, work with them. So the community roundtable, which we look up to and definitely love their content and they're great people, Jim Storr and Rachel Happy. You know, so we had phone calls with people, and we did a lot of research into who was out there currently, and we wanted to bring everything under one site. So we knew this was going to be a huge field. Social media is a giant growing beast. And it's been great. Like, we have a lot of great contacts. We do a lot of content sharing. We have a lot of really great support from community managers around the country. In the time that we started, so it's been a total of almost 3 full years, there's a few other competitors out there. There's a few other offshoots, and everyone has their own community management, type of certification program, or different types of things. So it's bound to happen. There's so much space to teach and to interact. But I am happy to say that I think we have the best community of community managers out there on the internet. So want to keep growing that and make sure that it's always going to be as high quality as it is right now. So.
It's a pretty stellar one.
Thanks.
Speaking of your network of community managers, what would you say have been some of the surprising lessons that they've taught you that you may not have expected to learn from them?
Man, what a great question. I learn every day. Like we have a private group on Facebook, which is called Community Builders, and the only way to get in it is actually to be recommended by someone in the group. And there's 5 admins: myself, David Spinks, Elise. There's 5 of us. There's a lot of great people who are herding the cats. But you have to submit a form and you have to explain why they're good in community, and then we vote on them, and they have to have 4 out of 5 votes. And so the group is up to, I think, 250 people. And so I go there almost every day to ask questions, and I feel like it's a safe space because it's so private. And we're purposely trying not to keep it, from being too big. And there's a lot of really great experience in there. So I don't know. The lessons I've learned and been surprised is, just how some of these companies, some of these community managers who are working for huge companies, are able to scale their communities and still keep it very one-to-one, right? Like that you can call up members and you can really have that humanity piece of the relationship building still be so important the bigger and bigger your company gets. So there's people all over. There's people from Google. There's people from Yelp and Yammer and smaller startups in this group. So I'm always, I couldn't even begin to tell you like one specific lesson outside of just how they're able to do what they do every day.
Of the community managers that I know, I think the thing that they all have in common is that they're all big people, kind of avoid using the people, but they are. And I think that probably one of my favorite community managers is Laura Horak, and I met her in person first. She works for Hootsuite. She's the North and South American community manager for all of Hootsuite, and what a massive job that is. And she's so personable. She did so much good for True Voice Media, and we have to thank her. We're trying to get her on as a guest too. But she just kind of exuded all the things that you would want to see from a community manager in the real world, which I think is lost on people at times. They think that it's always just about the social element, and it's not. It's about making real human connections too.
Mm-hmm. I love Laura. She and I had our first Google Hangout a couple weeks ago. And I thought we were going to have like a 10-15 minute phone call, just, hey, what's going on? And we've partnered with them, full disclosure. So the community manager and Hootsuite are working together on quite a few things right now.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks. So Laura and I were just kind of catching up. And I think we talked for like an hour and a half, and I have not had that much fun in God knows how long. She's fantastic. So when you get her on here, I will definitely be one of your audience members. That's exactly right. People, absolutely. And I think that's the big thing, and people kind of get caught up in the, you're such a social media person, and that's actually not true at all. Like, there's quite a few community managers out there, strategists, whatever you want to call them, that have nothing to do with social media. Their whole purpose is, sometimes customer service, or just figuring out better ways for, ambassadors and just referral programs and, all sorts of stuff, offline events, conferences. I mean, there's a million things that are going on behind the scenes for any given community that don't involve social. Do they play together? Absolutely. But there's a lot of people who don't even have a social presence themselves. I could name a few, but, why bother? they're out there. I don't want to out them.
I think it's a good segue, because I wanted to ask you about one of the major drama points in all of social in the last 10 days, and that was the Applebee's snafu. So I looked at it and I read there was I forget the name of the article, of course. I do this too often. I need to have the links open when I do this, but there was a big article that kind of detailed the entire event that happened with Applebee's, you know, last week. And this poor community manager was trying to basically stick up for his company, his brand, and at the same time probably trying to keep his job. And he was, you could almost see just like he cares about what he's doing, but he's doing it in the wrong way. So how did this Applebee's community manager mess up, and where were his intentions misplaced?
Gotcha. Truth be told, I have not read that much about the Applebee's thing. I've just read headlines.
Okay, so should I kind of like recap it maybe?
Yeah, that would be helpful. Okay. I know the basics, but just for this conversation.
Okay, so anybody that's listening or watching even that is unfamiliar with the Applebee's thing, it was somewhere in the middle of the country. I feel like it was roughly around St. Louis, where a patron of Applebee's had finished their meal. They were in a party of more than six, which means that they automatically had gratuity added on to their receipt. And this person who was signing their bill happened to be a minister, and she wrote on the check, which a server then took a photograph of and posted to their Facebook page, "I give God 10%, why should I give you 18%? And this created a huge firestorm, and I think it may have ended up on Reddit, which it usually does. Reddit's a perfect breeding ground for things like that. And it created a big firestorm on both sides. People, you know, sticking up for the minister, people sticking up for the employee, and Applebee's kind of responded, and they ended up getting about 10,000 comments, which then grew to about 20,000 comments. And the community manager began to kind of chime intermittently into these different comments, and they were getting washed away within 2 minutes because of just the amount of comments that were rolling in. And it just created this whole big firestorm that was really could have been nullified from Applebee's standpoint and the socialist aspect had they just kind of really kind of gotten their heads together and isolated the issue, kind of written out a better, you know, standpoint on how, like, where the company was standing and what they were trying to do to resolve it, what had actually happened, and not kind of continually explaining it to individual people all the time. I think that's where folks kind of looked at it and said Applebee's social was just, you know, abysmal in that sense.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's pretty much the basics that I knew, so that was a good recap. I mean, I always advise a company to have a crisis plan planned out, right? You can't plan for that specific situation, but you can plan for bad press and what the escalation plan is internally. And it looks like they didn't, you know, that's a pretty bad situation when you don't have a crisis plan in place. And if you do have one in place, you should practice every so often internally in case something happens to you guys are all, the company's all ready for it. In this case, I feel bad for the community manager because if you had been experienced enough to know that you should back out of a situation that you can't win sometimes, definitely put some kind of comment forward. But you should never kind of jump into the comments when they're just that rapid fire because they're going to get lost. You know, Community Management 101 is setting the tone. So instead of posting in a comment on like a Facebook page, you should post a brand new post, you know, and then this way the post is the focus instead of all the comments. You know, there's basics that people should know. So I don't know much about the community manager itself. Were they brand new? Were they an intern? Were they really young? Were they right out of college? And this is the problem with someone who doesn't have that much experience or have someone who's above them as a strategist telling them how to react. So it's tough. Like, you should have a social media strategist. You should have a community manager strategist. Or you should have, you know, senior marketing and or communications professionals around to help you understand the digital space of how to respond to things. It was an unfortunate event all the way around. There was no winning, so no one won in this case, which is sad.
Yeah, I felt bad for the community manager themselves because, as I said, you felt like their pain, like they're trying to communicate this message that they obviously, that he or she cares, that individual cares. And they kept trying to say, like, if you knew me. Well, unfortunately they don't, and you can't explain yourself to 10,000 people in a time frame that they're going to be satisfied with.
Right.
So I actually like the idea that you kind of brought up, kind of the fire drill, the social fire drill. And I don't think enough of us do that.
No. I mean, even internally, last year, one of our programs, you know, had a lot of negativity all the time. It was a brand new program. There was a lot of kinks that we were working out in the first, you know, year of it. But, you know, there was just crisis after crisis after crisis online. And, you know, part of it is, how important is that, right? So if it's a very, very negative few, is that really the voice of the majority? Is that really the voice of your whole program? And can you counteract the negative with more positive? You know, can you find people who are your ambassadors who love the program to counteract that and say, hey, this is crazy. Like, we love the program. We love this. So, you know, we learned a lot having to go through it ourselves. So it's not something you can learn through common sense and planning. And hopefully we're kind of teaching this now with our courses. But a lot of the community managers today have probably gone through trial by fire and learned the hard way. So hopefully going forward, companies know better and can do things like social media fire drills.
Jen, you've been involved in education in some way almost your entire career, and you taught in Korea. How long did you teach in Korea?
I was there for a little over 2.5 years.
So. And I know that you really love that, because every time I see it, it seems like you always talk about it somehow.
It was life-changing. I mean, it's funny, you say that I was in education most of my career. It's actually not true. I started off in music. I used to work for a talent agency, and I was an assistant to one of the top music agents in the business. And I had, well, she had clients that I repped with, like Rihanna and Ludacris, Jay-Z, Eminem, Kanye, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I worked there for 3 years, and I worked for radio stations and did my internships at record labels and worked at local radio stations and was on everything. And then I was like, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. And then up and left and went to Korea. So education has been my life for the past 6 years, and Korea has a lot to do with that. But it was more a means to an end. I wanted to travel. And so by traveling, I just really wanted to get out of the country and see Asia. And I cannot speak highly enough of going to teach abroad for a few years when you're not really sure what you want to do. And the cool thing about it was that was right when social was starting, I guess. Like, Facebook was around, obviously, but, you know, Twitter wasn't around, and Foursquare definitely was around, and it was Instagram, all that stuff. So we all communicated via, like, Facebook messages in 2008, and I started working for this cultural group and kind of learned how to do, like, Facebook groups and things like that, and that's kind of how I got to start in social. So now, I mean, having blogs and doing all that stuff abroad, like, it's totally a way to go. I want to do it again at some point.
So would you say that a lot of the different things you're doing now, the kind of the shift in culture and the travel that you did, do they have a big influence on what you're doing socially now?
Absolutely. I mean, it was, for me, I spent my mid-20s there. So I was there between the ages of 24 and 27. And it, you know, beforehand was just, you know, being young, stupid, working in music, entertainment, bouncing around show to show to show. And then coming back, I felt more like a professional, and so I just had a better handle on life, I guess. And so, yeah, it was just really cool to, like, have that experience and be more worldly and have a huge world perception now. Like, looking at the country from the lens of an outsider, you know, is it's there's no words for it. And I just every time I get a chance to leave this country, I do, because it's always an educational experience.
I definitely want to travel, and I probably need to travel. It would probably do a lot of good for my soul.
Absolutely.
especially being as creative as I think I am.
I think you'd love it. I mean, I went to the New York Times travel show a few weeks ago, and I kind of dusted off the old expat travel blog that I had to kind of write about, you know, some of the tips and perks of traveling that I spent, you know, just a day learning about it again. So it's always in my back pocket, and, you know, probably for me, I love my current company, absolutely, And education is where I belong, but the only thing that will probably ever steal me away is something in the travel industry. And that would be incredible because I just want to travel every minute of my life. But yeah, I don't want to say too much. I do love my current company.
And speaking of the love for your current company, the company you work with on a day-in, day-out basis is 2U, formerly Tutor, numeral 2, and then TOR. It's full of bright minds and extremely driven individuals. Many of you have very successful side projects. What is it about the culture of 2U that makes it very attractive? I mean, is it very attractive to ambitious personalities?
I think so. I mean, this place has grown immensely in the past couple of years. So, like I said, Alexa Squardato kind of started it for me. She was the first community manager. She built a fantastic team here. And I was her first hire, so I was the second community manager to manage one of the programs. And this was January 2011, and I think I was employee like 175 or something. I knew that because that day my HR person had just done my paper. She said, "Here's 175." I'm like, okay. And now we're reaching about 600 people, and that's, you know, just about 2 years and a month later, which is explosive growth for a company. And it's just not stopping. You know, we just announced Semester Online, and there's a lot of cool things. So, I mean, we're a startup, right? We're out of startup phase completely, I would say. We're more in the, you know, just beginning parts of being a big corporation. But we have a lot of startups within a startup, right? So we have a lot of programs. And so what we do is we partner with programs in universities, some of the top 25 programs in the country, bring the degrees programs online. And so when we partner with a brand new school, it's like getting a brand new company, you know? So we get to start from the ground up. We have zero employees with that program. We build it up with all the necessary parts, figure out how it's going to work. And each time we do it, we get better and better because we've done it 5, 6, 7 times beforehand. And so it kind of just breeds the startup mentality of hustle, and you got to be the best at what you do, and you got to do it at super stealth speed. And it shows no sign of stopping, especially now that we have Semester Online, which is groundbreaking in education at the point. And I kind of wish that I was an undergrad again so I could do it. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I think there's a core few of us that have really great side projects, which is how you and I know each other, you know, through Harrison's social good stuff. But yeah, everyone's got something going on the side, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, and I have to try and come up to Alexa's Dipsology events. They seem to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, between all of us, we've got it covered. You know, she's got the drinking site going on, and Harrison's got the social good, and I've got the professional development. There's a few other things, you know, around the company. So we cover all areas, and so between the few of us, we all have connections everywhere. So it kind of makes our day jobs easier because whenever you need something, you say, "Oh, hey, so-and-so, can you introduce me to this person?" And it almost always happens. So it makes it for a small world when everyone's connected through a variety of things.
It's terribly valuable to have you guys at such a close call for me as well. You know, whether it's through Harrison or if I can contact you or Erica Moss, Brian Martinovich. I know so many people in your company. It's ridiculous.
We're a social bunch.
Yeah. Speaking of being a social bunch, Jen, thank you so much for joining us on Social Echoes. Where can people go to be social with you?
Almost everywhere, but probably thecommunitymanager.com. We'll have all of my information, or my website, which is just jenpeavy.com.
Excellent stuff. Always a pleasure to talk with you. Best of luck with everything going on with you, especially the new stuff at Syracuse and everything else we talked about.
Cool. Thank you. It's been great.
That'll do it for Social Echoes. If you like the show, please subscribe via iTunes and leave a review so that others can discover the stuff we love producing for our listeners. Next episode will feature Jason Headsets.com. That's right, that is his last name, Headsets.com. We're going to be talking about his incredible marketing story and his approach. He and his company, I Wear Your Shirt, is just such a barrel of fun. I hope you'll join us. We'll see you next time. Take care.